Praise God. We are excited to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning, because the Word of God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word, my Word, says the Word of God, will last forever. Amen. That is awesome. So, let me just let you know, give you a heads up. The early service was early. Man, because you know, I mean, any of you know me, I'm allergic to being on time and I'm allergic to early. I break out in a rash, it's bad, it's not good. So I shared the scripture with them this morning. Early will I seek thee. Like 6:30 came early. That's crazy. Like, what is anybody doing at 6:30? That's so like painful, but we got through it. It was awesome. I have with me this morning 11 pages of handwritten notes. I have some whiteout in there as well. I only got through 2 pages last service. So if you're blessed, you won't need any of this. So this is good. Okay. I pray that you had a wonderful Easter. I pray that God moved in his presence with everything that he has for you in that moment. That as you celebrated the empty tomb, as you were able to just reflect and think about how glorious it is that you call yourself a child of God, that the blood of Jesus has washed you clean, that the power of the Holy Spirit living within you is taking you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Now what? We went to the empty tomb. Now what? The encounter. Now that he is risen, what's next? I love when they do that, put that up there like that. That makes me like feel like I know what I'm talking about. So awesome. So professional compared to my handwritten notes. There is a daily encounter that causes transformation and brings revelation of who God is and who we are in Christ. Encounter, to come upon or meet with, especially unexpectedly. Do you know that God loves surprising his people? He loves surprises. You know how I know? They went to the tomb, surprise, nobody there. They went to the tomb wailing, upset, horrified, anguished, expecting to see something in the tomb, like it being closed. And yet it wasn't. God is a God of surprises and resolve, and he will never leave you hanging without giving you something after the surprise. So when we get the surprise, we got to understand that God has something else. And if you and I will be patient, put your hands up if you like to wait. You love waiting. Just love waiting. You like waiting? I hate waiting. We need to hang out more. I can't stand waiting. Who hates waiting? Could you just put your hand and make me feel good about myself right now? I know. It's the worst. There was a comedian did a joke one time. He said, we're in such this horrible time of our lives where we stand in line for like anything. And it's like, oh, could you just move it along? I've been here like solid 4 seconds. Let's go. But it's in the waiting, the preparation, that God is getting you ready for the great reveal, the surprise that would allow you and I to fulfill his will. Bless you. So many moments God has brought to his children, the surprises of a lifetime. The waiting is difficult, but there is where strength is developed and the doubts and fears are crushed. All done in the waiting, testing, being patient period of his will. Surprise moments. Abraham and Isaac, surprise. I was just about to drive my knife into your chest and rip it open and offer you as a sacrifice. Surprise. Samson, given strength one more time. There's a blind guy strapped to two poles, two pillars. He's a blind man who sees finally why he was created. So there's this dejected, rejected, got a bad haircut, eyeballs popped out of his head. Sorry for the kids. I know we got a mixed audience and talk about eyeballs being popped out. But and all of a sudden, surprise. Tears up more people than when he was able. Wow, I went through page one. That was quick. We only got 10 more to go. It's going to be awesome. The Samaritan woman. This woman who's like a complete outcast leads a class in evangelism 101. Surprise. The side note, Jesus performs his last miracle before the cross. He heals the ear cut off by Peter of a guy named Malchus, who was actually a servant of Caiaphas. So we're talking, all right, this is an enemy of Christ. And yet Christ, one last miracle before the tomb. We could even say before the crucifixion, because even that is the miracle of our salvation. He heals the enemy. What? What do you mean? No. See, I'm going to this like horrible place of death and pain and agony, and I'm taking down as many as I can with me. That's me. You know, you want to make sure the enemy is like limping a little bit when you get done with him. But not for our Savior. Not for Jesus. He heals the ear of this man. In essence, he's really like cleaning up another Peter mess. You know, God likes doing that for us though, doesn't he? He's okay with it. He likes cleaning up our messes. How many of you mess? You got some messes God's cleaned up? Man, that's it? Wow. I need to spend more time with the rest of you guys because you're a messless group of people, which is wonderful. Jesus, in this moment, is actually prophetically acting out a future day when he would heal the hearing of Israel. Not by accident, Simon Peter's first name comes from the Hebrew word shema, meaning hearing. Okay, does that not like just, so here's a guy whose name means hearing and he cuts off a dude's ear. That's a capital irony with a capital I. Hello. Hear, O Israel. Matthew 13, verse 9 says this. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's what I'm praying for you today. For those of you watching. I'm praying that you will have an ear to hear what God is going to say to you today. Because if you do, I promise there will be a surprise for you in it that will allow you to walk accordingly to his will. How many of you really want to be obedient to God? How many of you find sometimes obedience is so difficult? That's just your flesh. That's just the part of you that keeps saying no, 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 no. When there's so much of you that's saying yes, 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 yes. For the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But God is asking you, if you'll say yes, 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 I will take care of your mess and I will take care of all things according to my will, no matter what you go through. That's some good news. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Oh, I got to show you this crazy thing I got right here. Oh, you're going to love this. Look at this. It's a paper Bible. This is awesome. For those who use electronic, look at this. Paper and it's going to be worth money someday. I bet you, right here. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And this is one of those, like, I have four different translations. This is the Comparative Study Bible. Look at that. I got this thing 30 years ago. Almost 30 years ago. This is old school how I used to study. I had like 42 books that went along with this. They're all like this thick. I got a Strong's Concordance. It's like this thick. The words are so tiny, you need like a magnifying glass. I don't know how people do it. I mean, some people do. Like, they're able to, this is side note, this is just, you know, people like read the Bible in a year. I like get jacked up on like one verse for like 3 weeks. I don't know how you do a whole year. You know what I mean? Like for 3 weeks, morning, noon, and night, I'm just keep reading. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And then I let that sink into my heart, because the Word of God is this incredible. It's not a book. It's the living Word of the living Christ who changes everything about us to be everything about Him. So Acts chapter 1, here we go. By the way, that was the introduction. How am I doing for time? We are not getting out of here till at least 4 or 5 o'clock, so be comfortable. Free coffee, cookies. So the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible truths, proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. There's that W word. Hate it. Hate it. Wait. He's saying wait. And I want you to understand, 40 days. There's a 40-day thing. So put your finger on there, put your brain on there. 40 days. And being assembled together, them commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Man, listen. So 3 days they were bombarded with just horrible emotions. They saw him, the mom, his mother saw him just brutally, absolutely tortured beyond anything she could have ever imagined. Isaiah 52, verse 14, that he would be beaten so bad that he was unrecognizable. Some verses, translations say monster, unrecognizable as a human, beaten that bad. That's what they visually got to look at. And then buried. All their hopes dashed, all their hope, all their promises, everything that he said, where did it all go? And then you get to the tomb and you expect it to be sealed and you're going to mourn and it's empty. Oh my, just, could anything else go wrong? Could anything else happen? It just gets worse and worse and worse. And then the next thing you know, surprise. And so he's saying here, the apostles are saying, are you going to restore Israel? And for a moment, you and I would have said this. If we were in Jesus' position, of course, Jesus didn't respond this way. But for a moment, you would have said, you're still worried about the Romans? What is the matter with you guys? Hello? I told you my kingdom's not of this world. It ain't about ruling and romping around with shields and armor and swords and taking down governments. It's all going to come down anyway. How do you not get this thing? I'm like, I just came out of the grave. And they're still wrapped in this moment because their emotions are still going on all cylinders. We thought we lost everything. Is this it now? You're gonna be victorious. You're gonna tear down Rome and we're gonna be free once and for all. No, fellas, that's not it. There's something else. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Oh, we got to go back to 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of seasons when the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up and beheld two men stood by in white apparel. Okay, so if that was the only chunk of scripture you read in a day, wouldn't you want to go back to that the next day? That's why, like, it takes me a long time to get through the scriptures. Right now, my children and I, we're in the New Testament. We did it the line by line about a little over like a year and a half or so, and we're in Revelation right now, and that's a real surprise to them. They're really like Revelation with the beast and the horn and the surprise. It's very not. It ain't Disney, I can tell you right now. It is not Disney at all. So here we are. Jesus is talking and then disappears. He's up in the cloud. He ascends and he's gone. But he just drops something on them that is so essential, so crucial into how they are going to be able to live their lives. The power will come upon you. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will come up and you will have power. Now, if I'm powerless and power is coming, that's a good thing, right? I'm just doing the math. If I'm on zero and something's added, I no longer am on zero. For those who are engineers in the room, how am I doing so far? Good. Absolute power will be yours. You see, that's why in this whole time of this transition, we have to understand that he has a purpose for it. Because what's about to happen will change the world forever. Could you imagine if he just left? Said, I'll be back, guys. Don't worry about nothing. I'm coming around. I'll be back. Just hang on. And that was it? What would have happened? Now that the power has come and is coming, you will have strength and resolve like nothing else. Okay. The encounter. That's another surprise too, by the way. The angels show up and they go, wait, guys, you guys all right? What are you doing? Well, we're looking, Jesus is, and they're going, yeah, no, he's got this. You guys don't need to worry anymore. Can you stop freaking out, please? God is saying to them through the messengers, through the angels, I'm keeping my promise. Jump over real quick to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 12 and 14. It says this. I have yet many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. you cannot bear them now? Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, and he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, and whatsoever he shall hear, that he will speak, he will show you things to come, and shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Okay, surprise. Huge surprise. In the encounter that they've now had with Jesus, and they will have it for the next 40 days, there is a preparation that is taking place, because the power of God is going to fall on them like nothing they had ever known. The power of God will be with them to guide them, so that no longer will there be a Peter cutting off an ear, but a Peter who will be Petros, the rock. He won't be shaken and wavered. He won't be on the roller coaster of faith. You know the roller coaster of faith? Have you ever met somebody who's been on that roller coaster that's so bad that you don't even want to be around him sometimes? Because it's up one day, down the other, up one day, down the other. And it's all contingent on what's happening around you. And God is saying, whoa, you will have trials and tribulation, but I will never leave you. So let's ride this out together. The encounter does three things. It comforts you. It prepares you. And it directs you. It comforts you, it prepares you, and it directs you. That's what the encounter does. The angels appear to the shepherd. They said, "Fear not." The angel appears to Mary. Says, "Fear not." The angels at the tomb. Fear not. Comfort. In preparation, the Holy Spirit comes. As the ascension takes place, this is a real probation, again, a real preparation time. You know that in the Bible, they actually, the 40, the number 40 with like the 40 days, 40 years, 40, that 40 moment period, 146 times in Scripture. 40 days, 40 nights. Listen, look, just a little tiny sample. Let's see, where is it? Noah, 40 years. Moses, 40 years. 40 lashes. 40 years wandering. 40 days of Goliath. Rah, 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 rah. Jesus in the desert, 40 days. The number itself may not be like, you know, some people get into the whole number thing. If anything, it's really a time of testing and preparation that they're about to go through before the day of Pentecost. This 40-day period is to prep us for what is coming next. This message itself, this is 29 years in the making from the day I came to know Jesus. I'll never forget, I took my first correspondence. Thank you. Correspondence. This is like being an actor, like line. And then because he was here at the first service, so I don't remember what I said at the first service, but thank you. I took this correspondence course, and you know, this is old school. Take the test, send it out, wait for the results. Three, maybe four of those classes, I failed. It was horrible. I was a brand new Christian. I was devastated, leveled, absolutely crushed. I'm trying to talk myself into them, like, oh, look at that. F, that must be for the Father, faithful. That's an F for fantastic. Nope, that's not. That's an old school F right there. I never forget one of the questions. What is the paraclete? I'm looking through the scripture going, paraclete, paraclete, paraclete. I didn't know Jesus was a pirate. Paraclete, paraclete. I'm so frustrated. I put it all aside. And then the next thing you know, I wind up doing ministry hands-on. And God's teaching me, and I'm growing, and I'm learning, and I'm being prepared for this moment right now, 29 years later. In the preparation, there are trials and testing. And then there's the direction. God saying, now the power has been received, the assignment will be given. And you will go out and do what God is asking you to do. I don't know if you're familiar, and I've mentioned his name before, Evan Roberts, who was essential in what was called the Welsh Revival in 1905, had this incredible time where God did what only God could do. There were miners who were absolute, like, just as rough as they get. I mean, these were like just caveman type males, just animalistic working dudes. And they all got saved. Miraculously, fabulously, incredibly, supernaturally, all got saved. They all came to Christ. They all had the encounter. Their language changed. Their language changed so much that the mules that they were, you know, pushing around and go here, go there, didn't understand them because they weren't swearing anymore. They had to retrain the mules because they had been so used to this attitude towards them. God is doing that with us, with the transformation in us. A quick side note, I'm almost done. I gotta separate my audience right now. So hang in there for 1 second. To the children, I'm speaking to the children. Anybody who's 15 down, 14 under, this is for you. You have to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have an encounter with him, you will not know him. You can't rely on your mother and your father's relationship. You must know him for who he is. Because he adores you. And he will change everything about you from the inside out. Because that's what he does. So that you would be able to serve him and glorify him. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's a bunch of, I can't wait to do for you because of what you did for me. From the cross to the empty tomb. So that's 9 out of the 11 notes, and that's done. Okay, finished. I only used two papers, two sheets. I only fresh 9, another service. I don't know, but that's. I was kidding when I was going to keep you till 5. You all look hopefully a little more relaxed. God wants you to know. Yeah, you can come up. God wants you to know how much in the encounter with him will change everything about you so that when you have the encounter, when you're in the preparation, you'll hear the direction. He wants to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Will you allow him? Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he is reigning on his throne. Because he has cleaned out the tomb and allowed your heart to be filled. You see, our hearts, before we knew him, our hearts were the tomb where only dead men lived. But now we are alive through Christ. We live only through him. The Lord Jesus would want one thing this morning, because he's deserving of every soul in this room. He would want one thing: for you to be renewed, for you to understand, and for you to receive him as never before. Can I pray with you? My prayer is that, Lord Jesus, we would come before you and ask with our open heart that you would fill it, and you would allow your Spirit to guide and move us, to prepare and direct us as we repent before you, as we ask for forgiveness of our sin. We are nothing without you. Yet you take the nothing of us and make it into something of your glory. We worship you. We give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name. God adores you this morning. Don't let anything or anyone tell you any different. It's a lie. But I have to do X, Y, and Z to prepare myself. No, you don't. That's another lie. Even as the song said this morning, come, come just as I am. Come right now. Meet me. That I would have an encounter that would change my life forever. That I would understand that you and you alone are glorified, lifted up, and worshiped as I surrender to you over and over and over again, day in and day out, an encounter that changes me from the inside out, according to your will.